This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kate.
Hey, Kate. How you doing?
Rachel, I'm doing so good. I've missed your face. It is so good to see your face on here.
It's good to see yours, too.
It's just like...
through my little phone.
I know. We've been like away from each other for, I think it's like 3 months now.
It's been like a year.
Yeah, that's what it's actually felt like, but I think in real time.
A decade between
us. And so like 1 month until we all switch again and we go to new places.
Time is flying. Okay, how was your weekend? What have you been up to?
Well, my weekend was good. I had a big accomplishment this last week.
What's that?
I saw 13 patients in a day.
Woo!
At my externship, like my doctors and I have been like goofing off sometimes, and I saw 12 patients one day, and I was like, whoo, I think that's my record for the summer. And they're like, oh no, no way, we're going to push you to 13. And so I said, okay. And once we kind of started that, they, like, every time there's an opportunity for 13 patients, they've just, like, it's been a big joke. And so it's been building and building, and I almost hit 14 patients.
Oh my gosh.
It was a big deal. I was almost to 14. And then one of my coworkers was trying to be really nice, and he took a patient for me.
Don't help
and
me.
I was like, all the techs I thought were going to just like start crying because they're like, we put it in your door. We tried to fix this. But I got 13 and it was a big deal.
That's awesome.
So I brought 13 donuts the next day to celebrate.
Aww.
And everybody ate all the donuts. It was pretty fun. So it's just like, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but like.
It's a huge deal,
we
Kate.
We built it up so big over the summer. It felt like I climbed Mount Everest. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Lucky 13.
Yeah, so it was pretty great. But otherwise, I've just been cleaning this weekend, running errands, did a little shopping for Evan's classroom, so that was fun. But Rachel, tell me about your life, everything, ever.
Everything's good. I went to the St. Louis Zoo today. For those of you who don't know, the St. Louis Zoo is terrific. It's free. It's nice. It was packed today because the weather was really good. So we saw like... Let's see, we saw some red pandas. They were out and about doing their cute little eating sticks and
cute panda things,
swinging from things. They were being cute. The prairie dogs were being adorable. I saw a rhino. I saw an elephant. Saw a grizzly bear. They were all just like doing their thing. Sea lions.
Who'd you go with? Did you go with friends, family?
My mom and my brother.
Oh, fun.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little mom and kids date. That's so fun.
Yeah. That was good. And then I got ice cream and now I'm here.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah. Things at clinic are fine. I mean, I'm learning about contact lenses and peds. I'm starting to think about like applying for jobs, which is like so terrifying. I sent out a couple CVs.
That's so real.
Think good thoughts for me.
I will.
I know it's real.
Gosh.
It gives me a pit in my stomach. It makes me want to Ralph all over the place.
That's so exciting. I keep telling everybody that I'm putting it off.
It's so early. It doesn't even seem like it should be happening.
But honestly, people ask what I'm doing with my life next year all the time. So it might not be actually early.
I don't know.
I know, but I'm thinking residency, so I got a couple months still.
We're going to have to do a podcast that's like... The pros and cons of residency.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that maybe next.
Yeah, because honestly, you and I have talked about that like 50 million times.
Yeah, I really thought I wanted to do one, and now I think I just want to work. But like, I would like to make a pros and cons list with you.
Yeah, let's pros and cons.
But not today.
No, that would be too soon.
Yeah, what's on the menu for today, Kate?
Well, okay, Rachel, secret.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out a good lunch menu item.
That's okay.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But I have an idea. It doesn't... It's a strange one. Okay, so on the menu today is macaroni and cheese. Because I love macaroni and cheese so much, my mom said we should serve it at my wedding and my funeral.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, your big life...
Same day.
You know, like,
your mom's got a big plan for you.
No, like your big life events. And so,
yeah.
Since we're talking about branding today, I think if somebody were to say, like, Kate, what's your food brand? I'd be like, mac and cheese. Like, it'd be easy.
Oh, that's good.
I love branding. I don't know if you know this side of me, but...
I do know this about you.
Yes, you do. Actually, a little too well. So I love branding. I love being able to figure out who you are and being able to kind of, like, exemplify that on social media, on yourself, and just, like, using that to kind of... drive your life. A lot of people in the non-optometry world, so this is not a pun, says, like, your brand is the lens you look through to view life.
But
it's a real good optometry pun.
No, that was really good.
And just like optometry. Yeah, so I just love branding because it gives all of us like an opportunity to figure out who we are, put it in a concise form, and then just like being able to stay consistent with that, because it's so easy for us to be like, I like all these things and do everything. Like, I mean, if you hung out with, like, Rachel and I have hung out just once or twice, and in optometry school, like, people might have looked at my everything that I did and was like, oh, Kate doesn't know what she's doing with her life because she's just kind of in the midst of everything. But, like, everything I did was a part of my brand.
Yeah.
Like, it was a part of who I was. It might not have seemed to jive, but the way I looked at life is it all came together. So... yeah. So, I thought, Rachel, you and I could talk through like our personal branding today and like help people figure stuff out with
it. I would love that because my personal brand has fallen off. Like, I used to be really good at this. I used to always be posting ABP, always be posting. I was always on social media. I had a huge following for my pep talks that I used to write. And then I went to optometry school and was like, I'm so depressed. I can't write any pep talks anymore. And I've totally fallen off. So we should really reinvestigate. Yeah. I need to like do some personal work here. So I'm excited for you to coach me through this.
Okay. So we, there's a lot of great things on Pinterest and online and just like everywhere. Like if you look up like branding worksheets or branding workshops, you get like thousands of millions of hits. So it's something that like a lot of people are passionate about. And I think, so in previous worlds, like they would always be like how to market yourself. And that was just like the first way that people started thinking about that, like in the late 90s. But I think it's just kind of switched over to branding yourself because you can market yourself any way you want. But if you brand yourself, you're consistent on all platforms. So I think that's just kind of the new.
Oh, we should have done those steaks that you brand with a grill on the grill.
Oh, Rachel.
No.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
I'm sorry that I interrupted you. Stroke of genius.
That was,
okay, go on.
That was too genius for me to like be just to continue to ramble. So yeah. So I found a branding worksheet that I actually just really, it's called a brand discovery checklist. And I just found it like it's one of a million on Pinterest, but I just really enjoyed it. And I thought the good questions that would be good for us today. So Rachel.
Yes.
The first kind of section that we're going to work on is finding our niche. So what kind of business do you have? Is it product-based or service-based? What's it all about? What are you most experienced in? So, Rachel, we're kind of in optometry, so we might be a little bit more service-based.
I think so.
But people are product-based too. So what are you? What would you say your niche is in optometry?
I would say I'm service-based.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I'm providing the service of... well, I will be providing the service of eye care and like a patient focused, caring for the whole person.
Yeah.
Eye care.
Yeah, because you're not just giving the service of giving good vision, you're giving good mental health, you're making sure systemically they're doing okay. You're just doing all those things.
What about you?
I think I will be service based mostly. But then I think over time I wouldn't be surprised if I turn to product based because I'll be prescribing glasses that children will need to change and like vision therapy techniques and like different things of that nature of like products to use for people to kind of get better. So yeah, I think my niche though will be service-based. And then what is your business all about? What is your business going to be focused on? Are you going to be focused on medical eye care? Are you going to be focused on optical?
You know what I was thinking when I was sending out these CVs, I was having to send out a cover letter and they say like, you should have a paragraph about like what you're interested in doing and what you could bring to the practice. And I was thinking like, I'm just kind of interested in diabetes and like how prevalent it is, especially where I'm going to be practicing. It's like getting worse and worse and worse in that area. I thought it would be a good idea to get really, really good at care for the diabetic patient and catching those complications early, trying to prevent the complications, having patients come back for dry eye treatments, recommending lens coatings, recommending those warranties. If I could just like cater my business toward attracting new diabetic patients and really being their go-to eye care professional, I think that would be a good thing to do. But also, I don't know, maybe everybody's just already doing that and it's a dumb idea.
No, see, but that's the thing is if you can make it special and you can make it you, then if nobody else is doing it the way you are.
I mean, I still want to fit contact lenses and make glasses and everything, but like, that's just what I'm most interested in right now.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean you have to be that way forever.
No, just for now.
Yeah. And if you do kind of like a medically based one, you can be more interested in stuff later that's similar.
Yeah.
So you're so far, your niche is service based and medically based. And so mine is probably, mine's service based and mine's more, more like a visual systems based, I think. Like it's got, I like to work with like, the CIs and the accommodative insufficiencies and children that are struggling that way. So I think I'll be like service-based, and my business is all about caring for the child in an educational aspect. So
awesome.
Making sure kids are like up and ready for, you know, are able to do their best in school. So, you know, I think pushing early eye exams and being able to do things with helping kids and like, all, you know, being on a team with teachers and stuff like that, I think it would be awesome.
That sounds great.
That's my niche. So, okay. We've talked a little bit about our subjects that we're experienced in. Do you have, you talked a little bit about contact lenses, you talked about medical eye care, anything else?
I think those are the two things I'm most comfortable in. I think I'm most comfortable in like managing the diseases right now.
Okay. So let's move on to our target market. So who's your ideal client?
Okay. My ideal client, and we're talking about our patients. We're not talking about social media.
Yeah.
Because it would be like a different topic to be like, who's my target market? Like, who do I want to have follow me on social media versus who do I want to have come into my business?
I think it could be a little bit of both. Let's talk through, because the people that are going to follow you on social media are going to come into your business.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So you might have two ideal clients, you know, it might be like the caretaker and the person they're caretaking. Because if you can handle the people that are the like family members that are taking care of their parents, you'll be able to fit those contact lenses, do a lot of things. But then also diabetes type 2 is much more prevalent in the older population. So then you'd be helping them too, kind of doing a little bit of both.
True. And the disturbing thing about the area that I'll be hopefully practicing in is like it's getting more prevalent amongst younger people. So people are being diagnosed when they're like 40. So that might be a good area to target because they'll also have kids who need contact lenses probably.
Yeah. No, and especially if they're hitting 40 and they haven't worn glasses before, they're going to want to wear multifocals.
True. That's good stuff.
And they're going to want to have backup pair of glasses like everything you wanted.
Yeah. What about you? What's your target?
Ideal client would be someone in the 5 to 8 range. I would love to do younger, but like ideal client 5 to 8 when they're first starting school and parents are noticing like, especially usually it's first, second grade when parents are noticing like their kids aren't keeping up as well. And so I would love for them. A lot of times it's boys that are just like high active. And so I wouldn't be surprised if I get a lot of those, but also girls that just aren't reaching their potential. And I think I would love to, I also just love working with special populations, people with autism and Down syndrome and maybe on the autism spectrum and then with Tourette's and things. Like I just really find joy in bringing them a higher quality of life. So I think that would be a huge demographic. And my ideal target market for them, my marketing would be to their parents. So my ideal client would be like the younger kids, but I can't like market to them necessarily on social media. But I think having child friendly things on my social media and making sure it works also for kids 7 to 9. So if they come across it, they're not like, oh, mom, I don't want to go there. You know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. You've got me thinking. Let's talk about me again. Okay. You've got me thinking about this. Like I want to attract people who have eye diseases, obviously, but I don't want to make them feel like, ew, you have an eye disease and we need to deal with it. I want them to be like, I'm going here because I can get the premium treatment and like it looks nice, it looks clean, it doesn't look like a desperate hospital. Like I'm doing something extra for myself. I'm treating myself extra well. Not like you failed because you got diabetes. Like you have diabetes. People have diabetes. Let me take care of you. It's fine.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Like, let's figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah. Let's get through this together.
Oh, yeah. So the next kind of big thing is like a personal mission statement. Okay. And this is like a big thing that like I tackled in a conference in college. And it was like over 4 to 5 days. So this isn't something like you can like come up with like within like the next 20 minutes. So okay. I'm thinking let's just kind of go through the questions and you can like we can just kind of talk about the questions real fast
okay.
because it's just like a big undertaking to make a mission statement, but I think it's something that's important for all of us to do, because if we know our mission statement, we know what we want to get out of our branding. So sometimes I do that. I like to do this first, because I know not everybody has it this way because it's kind of a big undertaking, but if you can figure out your mission statement. So I would spend like, this gets a good afternoon work. Like you have to put work into yourself to do this. Mm-hmm. Like I think we talk about Jonathan Van Ness on our podcast a little too frequently, but again, like you got to do self-care. You got to take care of yourself. And if you want to make your business better, you've got to take time and do this. So go to the pool in an afternoon, like, go to Starbucks.
Yep.
Or the Mecca Dunkin' Donuts. Ah. And just spend time with yourself.
Are you a Dunkin'
and, like,
convert? What happened? When did this happen?
Well, remember when they opened the Dunkin' up by my house on the way to school?
Uh-huh.
I think that's when I converted to Dunkin'.
Hey, mazel tov. I support you. Whatever.
Yeah, but like I like studying at Starbucks, but I like Dunkin' coffee.
Okay.
Dunkin' coffee is tasty and cheaper, and I'm on a budget. So that's my brand.
Okay.
It's Dunkin'. And so so here's my questions that I kind of worked through at a conference, and they've just continued to help me a lot. So my most important values, so usually that's like 5 that we kind of look at as like your most important values. I worked at this on another conference, and we started out with 100, and then we had to narrow it down to 1. It was crazy hard.
Okay.
But it also really forced me to figure out what was important to me and what I just chose, what I said was important to me.
Okay.
So what are your most important values? What are your most important needs? Like, what do you need out of the world? What do you need to feel good about yourself and good about what you're doing? What are you motivated by? So, like, some things I had was, like, love, recognition, accomplishment, money, problem solving. Like, what are the outside things that you feel most, like, motivated by, or internal motivators? What is the legacy you want to leave in optometry? So what do you want to be known for in optometry when people come and say, like, oh, this is Kate's legacy, this is Rachel's legacy? What's the one thing you want to accomplish as you're an optometrist? And, like, this could be several things, but, like, what are things you want to accomplish? And then what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be helpful, kind, powerful, wealthy, fun? Like, what kind of person do you want to be? And then what do you want to contribute to optometry in the future? And then what is a change that you want to make in optometry in the future? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are just kind of the big questions. And I'll type those up and you'll find them in our, like, article. So if you want to look through these, like, we'll kind of type up all these questions and the things we talked about, so you can kind of spend an afternoon in your branding process and figuring things out. So mission statement, I think, is a really good thing, because it also helps with cover letters. And it also, like, how cool would it be to be, like, in your cover letter, they're like, so what do you want out of this position? And you can say, my mission statement is to do blah, 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 and I feel like I can get that out of this position by X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. I think I can't put in a cover letter, my mission is to make optometry more equal. Do you think I could?
I think you could say, my mission is to make optometry feel welcoming to all people.
Kate, that's why you're the best.
No, but just like, just because, and that's still exemplifying your brand, but yeah. It's just the lens. You got to focus it to the people you're working with.
Yeah, true.
Just going to work on my puns here for all. okay. And then this last one for a little bit is really fun. And then we'll go through just like kind of the fun things to talk about, for your personal branding. What these are, this is another deep diving question, is who is your brand? So it's like, who is the face of your brand? Is it you? Is it somebody else? Is it you and 2 other people? Who is the face of your brand? It might be your receptionist. That's the face of your brand when they first walk in. Yeah. Is it who is your brand as in, like, is it you? Or are you in the more in the background and you get to be, I mean, but like, if you're not the face of the brand, like, figure out who is and how you can exemplify that and how you're doing things. What are your brand values? Okay, so, like, for me, I value giving people success. I value making sure that we're partners in the classroom. I value making sure that the family is supported. And I value people, making sure people feel like people. So, like, sometimes people, like, in other things, it says, like, if you're in a restaurant, is it important to you to have locally sourced ingredients, or is that not something that's important to you? Is it more important to you to have exotic things from other places? Is it important to you to have, like, add to a product by having, you know, like having like bonuses or like sales or something? Is that, is affordability important to you? Is how, like, when you're making people feel, is it you want them to feel taken care of, or do you want people to feel like they continue to have more resources? Like, it's just how you want to make people feel when they leave.
Yeah, I want people to leave feeling supported. I want them to feel that they've had a positive experience, that they've gotten a good quality product and also experience. I want mm-hmm. them to feel hopeful.
Yeah.
Like I'm pointing them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Like better days are ahead. And I want people to feel that I've been honest with them.
So we can take all of those and, like, what makes us stand out from others by having those things?
I think what would make my practice stand out if I was in a disease-based thing. Like my main, what is that called? Strengths quest? My number one strength is positivity. And I think not having a bleak disease-based practice would be something that made me stand out.
Yeah.
Something where people felt, you're in good hands. It's going to be fine. I'm going to support you through this.
No.
Like, I'm here to tell you, you have a disease, but we're handling it.
That is something that I don't think people see that their practices are bleak. And I know you're not saying to people like, oh, your practices are bleak, but like you having a positive outlook on all of this and like showing support, I think you'll have great. Rachel, I just love you and I think you're going to do great and you're going to have like perfect patients and you're going to be perfect.
Aww.
That just makes me so happy.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Like, none of us are like wanting to say, well, I'm better than this person at optometry, but we got to find what makes us special so that we can, like, be okay and, like, attract patients and help people. So I think mine will be, like, since it's more educationally based and it's, like, working on making sure students are supported, I think that'll be, like, something that not all pediatric doctors do, because not all pediatric doctors are comfortable with that. So I think that'll mm-hmm. just make me different.
Yeah, and you have a teaching background.
Yeah, I do. And so I think that'll change
Sorry.
A lot. You just are trying to brag, and I don't want to brag. So now we've done the deep digging in our souls. I just mm-hmm. want to go over a few fun things. So the next one that they have on here is, like, your brand colors, which seems weird to, like, feel. That just feels very designy. And I like design. I think it's
Love
fun.
It.
But, like, it's also very hard to sometimes be able to say, like, I want this color. But so, like, do you like warm and earthy or cool and neutral? Do you like the whites with the clean lines and the black or the pop of color? Do you like warm colors or more earthy, like, kind of muted tones? Do you like nature-y scenes? Do you like more industrial? Are you the farmhouse look? Are you, what are you, you know?
Man, that's tough. I love seeing bold colors. Do you remember when we were kids, like the bold crayons that had like jungle green
yes.
and that really bright orange? Those were my favorites.
Yeah.
But like I can't be around them too much. They like make me headachy and nauseous. Mm-hmm. Like I want to work in a serene, cool, spa-like environment.
I think that's a good one. And especially if you're doing a medical one, a medical like based practice, it's more like an optometry spa than like an optometry like medical based practice. You know, like.
Yeah, that would be amazing. You come in, the lights are low, we're reading from the chart. Tell me, can you get that TZV ECL? Yeah.
What are you feeling today? I'm going to give you a facial massage as we discuss your dry eye symptoms.
Tell me about those meibomian glands.
Yes, let me lipoflow you. No, but I think that would be, like, really great. And I'd be like, please give me a massage. Yes.
I fell asleep. She told me I had glaucoma.
I don't know what glaucoma is, but I was relaxed. okay, so I think I'd probably have, like, some brighter colors. I think, like, this is where it gets hard, is it's, like, I think I'd want something more bright and fun, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't want it to be, like, ostentatious. I don't know. I have to think more on that one. Like, I don't want it to look like a classroom, because some people don't, like, if a kid doesn't like school, like, I don't want it to feel like that, but I want it to be fun and interesting, and, like, so I think my colors would probably be more bright, and they'd probably be more in the warm tones,
yeah.
like in the reds and pinks. And then, but I really love purples too. So probably more of a reddish purple.
K-State.
That kind of thing. Yeah, I know. It's an issue. I only own purple clothing.
I like only own pink, and I don't even like pink. It's terrible. It's like everything I own is pink, and I'm trying to stop buying it. Yes. Like, it's not nearly one of my favorite colors, but everything. Look at this purse. I bought this. I don't know what's wrong with me.
So the thing is, it's not like you're wearing, like, hot pink everywhere.
No.
Like, listeners, don't think that Rachel's just swarming around here in, like, fuchsia. But
it's like a nude pink almost. But it's like everything is that color.
Yeah, it's a blush.
Yeah, it's a blush.
It's a blush. Right. It's a very popular color. It's very popular. And it looks good on you, so I'm all about
that. Thank you so much. I don't know. I'm trying to move away from it, but every time I buy it, and then I'm like, why did I do this?
I am hooked on navy blue right now, so I understand.
Ooh. Cool.
Yeah, no, I love navy blue, but I can't own everything navy blue with a chestnutty brown. Like, chestnut brown and navy blue are my colors right now, and I need to...
Those sound great.
Oh, they're great, but I need to kind of pluck myself from that sometimes and go in a different direction, maybe. Okay, so, well, this kind of goes in great. Like, what is your brand style? You know, minimalist, earthy, glam, vibrant, retro, floral, hipster, classic, modern, rustic... sleek, fresh, traditional. I kind of would love floral, but I know that that's not what every child wants. But maybe like a vibrant floral, like hipstery vibe. Oh, no. Retro floral.
I love everything about this. Like flower child kind of thing? Or
yeah,
what are you
thinking I'm going straight 70s in my office all day, aren't I?
Oh.
So ever since I was a small child, my mom says I should have been born in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah, like, I look great in bell-bottoms. Like, all 70s clothes I put on, and my mom's like, you should continue to wear that. And I do. That's what I wear mostly. And, like, these bell shirts that are out that kind of have the 70s vibe to them, like, yes, that's my jam. I own so many right now. And then, like, so I think that's what it is.
Okay, so you're going to be retro floral. I love it. I think I like...
Could I pick one for you?
Fresh and rustic. What were you going to say?
Minimalist and earthy.
Oh, okay. Earthy is good.
Like, I know you like that rustic, and that, what was the other one you were interested in?
Fresh.
Yeah, so like, but like, the minimalist earthy is like a fresh. I like fresh. I'll take fresh. Like, I think a fresh, like, good, soft, minty greens with like some browns with like other soft greens. But I'm thinking, like, you're not going to have like stuff splattered all over your walls. Like, that's not you.
No, I don't want any vases with just like sticks in them.
Okay. No, I understand that. So I think like a fresh with earthy would be very much
more your
style. Let's
do fresh earthy. Okay,
yeah,
that's
like
good.
That.
That's good.
I like that. Okay, so.
I want my place to smell like rosemary. Is that possible?
I bet. You know what? With like oil diffusers now, I bet that is.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so last little thing to kind of cover is words to describe your brand. So we don't have to go through this today because I feel like this could be a lot, and we've kind of covered it with the like brand style, I think. Like, I think we've kind of done that, but I think, you know, that would come out of your mission statement because, Rachel, we're kind of running low on time because, you know why?
Why?
We have an interview to kind of debut today.
Yay!
Yeah, so we just have a really great interview that I was so excited that we got a pair with this with the topic we were talking about today, because I think branding's super important, and I got to talk about it with Johnson & Johnson in Insight Studios. So today we have with us, his name is Vady. He's from Western University. He's going to be a second year student, and he started an Instagram, The Photometrist, and he has really great style and branding, and just like he knows who he is, and he has continued to stay with that, and has over 1,000 followers on Instagram now, and that's just over in the past like few years. He just has some really great ideas, so
I cannot wait to hear it.
Yeah, so stick around and listen about other good ways for us to kind of do branding and social media. So Rachel, I think that's wrapped up for us today.
This was very educational. I can't wait to work on my brand a little more.
Oh my gosh, you better. So we're RK Lunch Date. Always follow us there. You guys did great, like with our last episode of like responding to us and telling us who you'd bring for dinner. So many fun people. It was awesome. So continue to interact with us on there. Give us a good listen. And you can message us anytime at RK Lunch Date on Twitter and Instagram. And then you'll also find us on there so you can see us, our personal branding taking place, but you'll get to see some branding of RK Lunch Date.
Until next time.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm here in Denver with Vady.
Vady here is a first-year optometry student over at Western University. So today, I want to talk to you about social media.
Uh-huh.
I found you on social media, and you are incredible. So, like, why is it important for students and doctors to, like, get on social media?
Honestly, social media made the world a much smaller place.
Uh-huh.
That we all got connected and feel like we are in a community together. Mm-hmm. So if I need any, like, definitely helps with opportunities in, later in careers.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna help you connect with people so much, with
uh-huh.
your patient a lot.
Yeah.
Your patient's gonna feel differently when they see you on social media.
Mm-hmm.
They see the family side of you, not mm-hmm. only the doctor white coat relationship.
Yeah, where you feel like you're stuffy.
Exactly.
It's yeah. family. Mm-hmm.
So they feel more connection with you.
Uh-huh.
And definitely, if you need any help from other ODs throughout the state, the nation, and actually around the world, I met uh-huh. so many doctors around the world and around the states and the nation.
And so you also talked about like how your patients get to see you as a
yeah,
person
definitely.
And like being authentic. And I think sometimes as doctors we forget that,
yeah.
that we get to be authentic people
oh, yeah.
even when our patients see us in a clinical setting.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
that was beautiful, just
yeah.
to think about it. Well, any other advice to any students or doctors as they start their social media journey?
I think you should start as soon as you can. Start now.
Uh-huh.
It's not gonna like hurt you in any way.
Uh-huh.
If anything's gonna increase your patient base,
uh-huh.
and if find you somewhere, like the patient will find your address, another
uh-huh.
location for you to increase your patient base.
Yeah.
So it's really starting now. Start as soon as you can.
So Vady, if we're gonna talk a little bit about advocacy real
okay.
quick, because that's something that I'm super passionate
yeah,
about. So
definitely.
If we define optometric advocacy as raising a collective voice,
mm-hmm.
why is that important for patients and the profession?
Definitely opens your eyes to, like last year we went to DC
mm-hmm.
for the advocacy, and I learned so much that I did not know optometry is that much, there's no much advocacy for it.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely we need to advocate for optometry, and I learned so much from DC. I met so many great doctors that are really fighting for what we need to do, how
uh-huh.
to improve, how to be advanced in the practice,
mm-hmm.
how to like give the patient the best care that we can do,
mm-hmm.
and be in one setting, in one click. You don't have to refer out maybe, or like
mm-hmm.
it's going to be easier for the patient and definitely going to be better for them.
That's awesome.
So it's really important to advocate for it.
It really is.
Yeah,
you know my heart.
Yeah,
it really
definitely.
Is.
Yeah, DC was great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.